Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life, you give me, give my creation life.
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Glad to be with you today. We'll be with you right up until 6 o'clock. Normally, we're here from 3 to 5, but we'll be here from 3 to 6 today, as we mentioned before. Bruce Birch is on a temporary hiatus, getting some much-needed rest away from the show. And Bob Kincaid and I will be splitting the time, so I'll be here till 6, and then Bob Kincaid will take over from 6 till 10. How are you doing today? It's Thursday, October 19th. I guess I'm not supposed to say that on a program, what time it is or what date it is, in case we ever want to use it for a replay. It is surprising sometimes when you have a replay on, you'd be in the studio and the old phone will start ringing. People don't know. We should, I guess we should do a little better job posting that. That's my fault. Nobody's fault but mine. Anyway, we're glad to have you along with us today, and we hope you'll give us a call here at the studio, 866-546-5254. If you're in Washington, D.C., you can call our number there, toll-free, 202-370-6153. And if you're in the Phoenix area, you can call our Phoenix Bureau at 623-444-5252. Glad to have you with us this afternoon. If you got anything on your mind, why, give us a call. We'll try and make this your program today. If you want to cooperate and call in and let us know what's on your mind, we'll do what we can to... let you know what's going on in the political landscape, that's for sure. I won't say like Rush Limbaugh said the other day, I am the political landscape, because I'm not. I'm here to discuss whatever you want to discuss with you. We like to talk about politics. We do talk about politics, and if you've got any concerns, we'll talk about them, be ye on the left or on the right or even... I know it's hard to believe, but some people are down the middle on politics. So, although there are not very many of those left, don't you think? It was interesting. I heard just the other day that there are fewer independent voters now in the middle than there have been in a long, long time. There's been that 6 or 7% that both parties fight over. They say there's fewer of them this year. We've become a little more polarized. And speaking of that, I've got some. I'll get to that in a minute. We'll bore you with numbers in just a moment. Hello to everybody over at the Head On Radio Network chat room and folks over at the Hartman chat room and everybody over at Democratic Underground and Democrats.com, SmirkingChimp.com, and all you folks all around the internet and around the world. We're glad to have all of you along with us today. Just about wasn't here today. No kidding. I'm walking down the road. I'm going for a walk, and I'm taking my little one of the bigger of the two little Yorkies out for a walk, Kukla. and got her on a leash because she's not afraid to take off and run, and I don't think I could catch her very fast. So here I am walking down the road, and don't forget, I live in Florida. And there's a canal right down the road, and there are no houses along there. There's just kind of a woods on one side and a canal on the other. And I'm walking along there, and son of a gun, I look, and about 3 feet away, just off to the left side of the road, there's an alligator. And my dog just starts barking his head off, just going crazy. Imagine this now, a 6-pound Yorkie. All four getting in there and getting a hold of this alligator. Now, it's not a big gator. Maybe, 4.5, 5 feet. But I assure you that Kukla, the Yorkie, would be nothing more than a snack for that gator. And that's what happens to a lot of little dogs. They like to, around here anyway. Lots of little dogs come on missing around here, and that's not going to happen to mine. So, yeah, that's the first time I've seen an alligator in that particular canal. Man, they're ugly. There's a lot of them around. I don't think people understand how many of them there are around. And I think when I first moved to Florida years ago, it was interesting to me the amount of wildlife there is here that a lot of people just don't know that it's in Southwest Florida. We have bears here, little black bears, panthers, although I've never seen a panther, lots of wild turkeys, of course the gators and little raccoons. And so, yeah, lots of wildlife around here. I brought Kukla, the wonder dog, and Sophie, her little protege, into the studio with me today. So they're running around here somewhere. They're out in the outer office, probably having a good time tearing something up. So enough for the zoo report. I mentioned it a moment ago that we've got I've got good news and bad news for you. Let me give you the bad news first. We got the new Wall Street Journal Zogby poll just earlier today. And I'm not happy with what I see here. And Zogby's been fairly reliable over the years. But in Connecticut, I'm going to call this one. And I hate to say it. It pains me to say it, but I believe that Lieberman's got that one in the bag. He's leading Lamont. Maybe Lamont can come from behind. I sure hope he does. Lieberman over Lamont, 43%. This was taken 2 days ago, so it's a very current poll. Lamont down by 6. In Maryland, Cardin leads Steele, 51-43. That's good news. In Missouri, Talent leads McCaskill, 50-47. That one's been swinging back and forth and back and forth, 50-47, so we're down 3 there. And in New Jersey, damn it, Keene is leading Menendez, 47-45. I believe we were even up on that one in the last poll. In Ohio, DeWine has gained some ground on Brown. It's now 49-45. Just 4 points, had him down 7 the last poll. In Pennsylvania, Casey's still got a comfortable lead over Santorum, 52-44. And in Tennessee, this is the one that surprised me. In Tennessee, Ford is down 49-42. That's a lot. We had the last one there almost a dead heat. I think the Ford was, one down on the last one, but it was 49-42. That's a tough one right there. And in Virginia, it's that one staying about the same. Allen's leading Webb. Mr. Makaka is ahead 49-46. I don't know. That's the bad news. That is the bad news. Here's the good news. I was taking a look at the 2002 midterm elections when Zogby did polls on it. And he had Mondale up by 5. Just 2 days before the election, he had Mondale up by 5, and he lost by 3 points. He had Strickland up by 9 in Colorado, and Strickland won by, he lost by 5. He lost by 5. Max Cleland, they had him leading 49-46. and he got beat 53-46. You get where I'm going here? Zogby was wrong on every one of these. In Texas, Kirk was behind Corn in 49-48, and he ended up getting beat by 12. So that Zogby was way off on that one. And let's see who else we got here. South Dakota, Johnson was ahead of Thune 52-47 and won that race by a tenth of a point. Lautenberg was ahead by 16 on Zogby's pole and ended up winning by 10. And in Missouri, I don't know what happened to the numbers on that one. But anyway, you get my drift here. Zogby was wrong on almost every one of those, and in this new one here, I hope he's wrong on some of those as well, particularly that one about Ford disturbs me, and also McCaskill being down by 3. Those are important races, so we've got to do some work. We've got a lot of work to do, and we better get busy and do it. Lots happening here the last day or two, although no big stunning news. We had that football story from yesterday. I found that, I still think that was a bit odd. Don't you think it was a bit odd, this NFL stadium deal? I first heard about it during the show yesterday. Someone gave me a call and let me know a little bit about it. And I got to thinking about that after the show. I read everything I could find on it. And I think these people are really amazing. Is there no limit to how far they'll sink in order to keep their power over us, the American people? And after the show, I read the story that they leaked about there being a terrorist plot to blow up, what was it, seven NFL stadiums with dirty bombs. They even said the information was not credible, but they released it anyway. Can you figure that? Our government said it was not credible, but here we don't think this is going to happen, but we're going to let you know about it anyway and just get you all stirred up and get everybody pissed off and scared and I don't know what all. Could someone from the administration please explain to me that if they have not credible information about a terrorist attack, why the hell would they throw it out there for public consumption? Why would they do that? Well, being the old cynical me that I am, I think the answer to that's really simple. Plain and simple, they're desperate. They're desperate. They're doing things right now that I've never seen political parties do in hard times. I'm a Democrat after all. I've seen our candidates behind plenty of times, and I don't think we ever did any of this kind of crap. But they're really desperate, and they've used fear to hold on to power these past few years, and it's worked for them. You remember that the old mantra during the 2004 campaigns? Well, we don't want to change commander in chiefs in the middle of a war. You know, he's keeping us good and safe and all that. And remember how they touted themselves as our saviors regarding national security? Democrats are soft on national security, and we'll save you. The truth is that if there was anything to this dirty bomb scare at all, they would have warned us about the threat and told us what to do about it. They're not going to take any chances if they think there's a credible threat at all. And at least I hope that's what they do. They missed warning us on 9/11. Don't forget that. The information and what was it they called it? The chatter and the information intelligence they had about 9/11 was a hell of a lot more than they had on the stadium deal, evidently. And they did nothing about that. They didn't. Have you stopped to think back? If the public had been warned that there was knowledge that Bin Laden, if the public could have seen that presidential daily briefing that Bush saw, how many people do you think would have gotten on an airplane on 9/11 if the public had known about that? That had to be more credible than this one. Had to be a hell of a lot more credible than this one. It made the presidential daily briefing. And Richard Clark, you've heard Richard Clark talk about it, that they were worried about it. What would have happened? Would it have killed them to call the airlines and let them know about this that day? How many people would have been wary of getting on a plane that day? You know, if the public had known that Bin Laden might try and hijack some airliners, things might have turned out a lot differently. You know, if the search and seizure protocols we've got in place today at the airports had been implemented at that time, maybe Bush wouldn't have had his PNAC Pearl Harbor moment. We wouldn't have had the war in Iraq because he wouldn't have had an excuse to do it. And the main thing is, thousands of Americans might still be alive today, but they did nothing. Nothing. On this one, though, shouldn't they have kept their mouth shut and continued on behind the scenes to see if there really was a need to tell the public? Shouldn't they have been investigating this thing without unnecessarily frightening half the people in the country? Well, sure, that'd be the right thing to do. But why do that when you have any excuse at all to scare hell out of the public close to an election time, and you can go back to saying, we'll protect you, don't worry. Be afraid. We'll protect you. Think about that for a moment. What's the football fan going to do now? Stay home? Don't go anywhere near the NFL stadium this week? Be sitting there looking at the people on each side of you carrying a large package of some kind? Looking for the guy carrying that extra large sub sandwich wrapped in a tinfoil? I know I would. Clearly, this was an attempt to put more fear in the hearts and minds of Americans and to make themselves look like they foiled another plot of some kind. And this Bush administration, on the whole, has no conscience whatsoever. And there'll be more. There'll be more before. There'll be something. There'll be something before the election. Just you wait. Hey, let's go with the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Oh, hi. Okay, I'm hearing an echo.
Well, I don't know.
Okay. I'm here.
Okay, do you have your radio on there or something?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. No, you're coming across fine.
Okay. Guy, this is Angelica.
Yes.
And calling extraterrestrially, I guess. What I want you to reiterate, please, if you can, there are all kinds of candidates out there for the elections and independents and greens and all of that. And I know people, they're out there trying to make a statement because they're rather upset with what Democrats have been doing. And they're, you know, just trying to punish them for that. And also, you know, making a statement and voting their conscience and whatever else they call it. But, you know, please reiterate that this is not the time to do that. You know, you have to, even if you don't like the person, you have to vote for whoever is on the Democratic ballot, or else your vote will just be wasted. So, you know, you don't have a coalition or parliamentary system where you can form coalitions and your vote will count after all. You don't. You're just going to throw it away, and then the lucky third will be the Republicans. You can't do that.
So,
am I right?
Well, I don't completely agree.
How so?
I can't vote for somebody who so goes against the grain. In my mind, who is a Democrat who's immoral.
Right.
Okay, I can't do it.
What if you don't? Guy, what if you don't? Then what happens? Who gets the vote?
Well, the Republican will vote.
Exactly. So is that what you want?
It's not what I want, but I can't go cast a vote in favor of somebody who I think is immoral. I can't do it.
But the task at hand at this point is to, you know, to vote to get the Republicans out of office. So, you know, and if were we at different times right now where it's not so crucial and we're basically on the eve of destruction, what? You know, then you can experiment and say, okay, we'll see how my guy, you know, my Nader or whoever is going to do. But you can't, because you know what's going to happen if the Republicans keep on. I'm getting a cold, so please bear with me.
Hey, join me. I got one too.
Yeah, oh, you gave it to me.
Yeah, there you go.
But you know my point. Maybe I just can't make it eloquently enough for people.
No, I understand your point. I do. But I'm a hard head. Let me explain this. I'm a hard head. And for example, here in Florida right now, we've got a guy running for governor, who's a Democrat and a congressman, Jim Davis, and he voted, and he's made a lot of votes I don't like in Congress, but he voted for the bankruptcy bill. And he's been bought off by the banks. And I, call me old-fashioned, but I'm looking to rebuild the party, not put a new roof on it.
Well, you can do that after the election.
Well, right. we got to do it sometime. And my worry is this. I don't like Jim Davis. I don't like Joe Biden. I don't like Joe Lieberman. I don't want the Democrats to have a whole party of those guys in Washington running it. Because if we do, what have we gained?
Yeah, but the chance for that changing that is over because the primaries are gone. I guess I don't vote in your country, so you know I have just limited knowledge of that. but you know this is not 3 weeks before the elections. It's just not the time.
Well, forget the primary. What I'm saying is, what if we end up with a whole Congress full of guys like Joe Lieberman? What have we gained?
All right. Okay. And then what have you?
No. Then we understand. Yeah. Then we understand. And I know people don't like to hear this word, probably particularly where you live. But then we need to purge the party of having people hold office that are like that. We need to one building block at a time to replace them. And putting them back in office just makes them stronger. And I understand the other. I understand the other side too. I mean, I understand perfectly what you're saying. But I'm people that know me well know that I'm a hard-headed purist, and I'm not willing to. And I will cut off my nose.
Yeah, but you're advocating people to throw away their votes, basically. And there has got to be some strategy behind how they vote. At this point, it's just crucial. You can't tell them otherwise. You know, and. Really, the 3% or whatever, 5% or 10% even that would be siphoned off by the off party candidates. Basically, those are non-voting. They're just non-vote.
I know, but I just don't believe in the hold your nose and vote thing.
Then you need to change your system.
That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do by putting purity in the party, to have only people in the party that stand for the
yeah.
genuine Democrat Party principles. And a guy like
but this is just dangerous to do that right now. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
any other time, fine.
You're talking about a Band-Aid. Putting a Band-Aid over it, and I don't want to do that. I want to fix the problem and not put some duct tape on it, you know.
Well, this I guess could probably be discussed for hours with no different result, you know. But basically, what could happen then very well is just like when Nader, you know, he did take away votes from Gore, I think it was, and had we not experimented then, we wouldn't have Bush in office right now still.
Yeah. Well, I'm not into experiments. I'm not into experiments at all. I'm not saying I'm necessarily right on this, but I'm me, and I cannot hold my nose and vote. I can't do it.
Yeah.
If I really despise somebody, I can't vote for them. I can't do it. Just because
I understand that, but you know, like I said, these are just really—we're almost really at the brink of destruction and of going downhill so fast.
Well, you might think of how some of that happened. You might think if we had fewer guys like Joe Lieberman in the party right now, that we would have been able to put up a decent fight, but we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you got to think of it that way too.
Yeah, I do, but you know, then we're going back to the subject of punishing them all, but this is not the time for it. It's just not.
When do you punish them? if it's not election time, how do you punish them?
Well, first you have to regain power, and then at the local level, I guess, and that's where you start. You have to.
Well, I absolutely believe that. I live in an area where there's not, There's no Democrats in power here at all, and it's probably
you
never
see?
Probably never going to happen because where I live is a, and I'm certainly not included in this, but it's a highly affluent area.
Well, trust me, where I live, there aren't any it's as black as can be.
Yeah, well, here it's a bunch of extremely rich white people.
Same here.
And so it's never gonna turn blue here. Never.
Yeah, same here. But you know, still, there's got to be, like I said, strategy at this point, and because the catastrophe would just be, it would just be for me too. You know, living over here, I have very much at stake is to get these people out. Very much so.
Well, think of the example. Think of the example, and here's another thing. And I know we're never going to agree on this, but. So we've got some Democrats in name only in the House and the Senate, and we go ahead and put them back in again. We've just showed some more of them that they can go ahead and go against their constituency back home anytime they want to and get away with it. And I think we need to make an example of some of them so that they don't do that.
No. I think they're probably smart enough to know that they're really, really on probation, big time. These votes that are being casted are just really out of necessity and nothing else. And I think they would realize that, yes.
Well, I'm for keeping the boot on some of them. And
well, you may.
I just don't. There's some of them I don't trust, and
at least maybe some people who, if that's you and you can't do it, it's your conscience, but maybe you can just not persuade people to follow your line. You know, that's what I'm trying to say, Guy.
Well, I want everybody to make up their own mind. I'm certainly not going to sit here and say you have to do this. I'm just saying that's what I'm going to do.
And then after that, you can just do all the house cleaning and start at the bottom.
All right, Angelica, but what good does it do me? What good does it do me now? If I here locally, for example, in the governor's race, what good is it going to do me here if I vote in Jim Davis for governor, and he turns out to be another Bill Nelson, who's our senator here, who's a Republican, but he wears a Democratic. What good's it going to do me?
Okay, but who is this opponent? I don't know.
His opponent is a Republican named Charlie Crist.
Okay.
But what good does it do me as a – I guess what I'm trying to say is I want to set an example. I want to set an example to the Democrats that they can't do this
They won't know. They won't know your one single vote that's being thrown in the garbage. Basically.
Well, one single vote, but what if a lot of us don't vote for a Joe Lieberman? You think Joe Lieberman and some of the other Democrats won't learn a lesson up there if we'd get him voted out? But it's not going to happen. But if we did, I don't get to vote on him. But
he's an independent now, isn't he? He's not even a candidate.
Well, he says he's going to vote with the Democrats. He knows. He's such a liar. I don't know what to think. I personally think that if it comes out close and it'll do him more good to turn Republican, I believe he'll switch parties.
Uh-huh.
I'm convinced he will. I don't think the man has any moral compass whatsoever, but what do I know? Hey, thanks for your call.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
And let's go back to the phone. Yeah, it's a tough one. That's a tough problem right there. I mean, it is, and I understand both sides of it. But it's one of those issues where I can't sit on the fence. I can't do it. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Good afternoon, Guy. Bill from Toledo.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, listen, real quick, I just want to take and give you. You're talking on polls, and I'd like if you can during your break or sometime today pull up Real Clear Politics. It's a poll site, and it gives you more information on everything that's going off, and you can spend an hour just looking up stuff on Ohio. It gives you every race.
I think I've got that one bookmarked. I do.
You got that one bookmarked?
Yeah.
I'm showing there's well, I'm not going to talk anymore, but I just
why you got a sore throat or something?
No, I just
don't be giving me trouble, Bill. I'm not in the mood for it.
I just like to give somebody else a chance to call in. But this for your listeners out there, if they want to see some really good polling data, go to Real Clear Politics, and there's just a bunch of information on there. You can spend an hour on any race you want to, and you probably won't cover everything on it. Oh. So, what'd you think of that show last night?
Well, that's pretty sobering. It's pretty doggone sobering, and I do thank you once again for letting me know, because I think I'd heard about that maybe a month ago and forgotten all about it, and I was sure I didn't really have the time to sit down and watch it, but I did.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure glad I did. Hey, and wasn't that, I can't think of that fellow's name at the end that was being interviewed by Bill, but man, that guy was sharp.
Oh, wasn't he?
He was really sharp. I liked the program.
A guy, wasn't that something about how in Japan, that they, in Korea, and, well, you know, all the countries they listed there, they got an internet 100 times faster than we do?
Yeah, I did know that. I've got a friend, believe it or not, in Sardinia, that's running an American school in Sardinia, that tell me that, you know, most of Europe is way ahead of us. And not all of it, but a lot of it anyway, is way ahead of us on internet technology. And here we are sitting here thinking, no, we know everything. I guess we don't. Well, maybe we do, but I think that program laid it out well why we don't have it.
I'll tell you something. I worked for the railroad. I was a conductor on a railroad, and I worked all the way from Buffalo, New York, into Chicago, up into Pennsylvania. Oh. I worked just about every place.
What line did you work for?
I worked for Conrail.
Ah, okay.
And we laid a fiber optic cable. I'm thinking maybe about 7 or 8, maybe even as far as 9. Maybe I don't think it was 10 years ago, but we laid cable all the way from Chicago. I worked on those trains that laid those, where they'd dig it and put the pipe down, put the cable inside. Those guys would set up a tent, and inside that tent they'd put those fiber optic cables together. And they'd give us hats. It was, I believe it was AT&T. Yeah, it was AT&T.
Uh-huh.
Who laid the cable. And that cable went, well, as far as I know, it went to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It went to Chicago. It went to Buffalo. And that's all been laid a long time ago.
Hmm.
And that was all fiber optic cable. And I just wonder who's using that cable, whether that's...
Yeah.
Phone lines, but I talked to that guy, and he said the information that goes through those, you know, just back. Of course, I didn't know them. You know, it was before I even had a computer. And
well, it's the way to go, and we were promised it here a long time ago, but don't have it. But
yeah, you know, on that call waiting, they said we're paying $5 for it, and it cost them a penny.
Yeah, isn't that something?
And that money is supposed to have went into this, golly, I'm ready to storm my cable company.
What was it, $25 billion it was supposed to be? And gee whiz, don't you know that now they don't have it?
hey, yes. Guy, what can we do with all this money that they've spent on this war? I guess yeah. They could, we could, you know, they got to do something about the power, about the electrical grid.
Our infrastructure is amazingly behind the times.
It's falling apart, and this is going to hurt commerce. You know, it's just so many things. We've spent so much on the military, and we've just let everything else go to hell.
That's right. And you know, people, you know, Bill, people have got a big education coming that they think, well, here we are. And don't get me wrong. I love my country. I love living here. I don't think I'd want to live anyplace else. But we're not necessarily ahead of the game in everything like a lot of people live here think we are. In many ways, we're way behind other countries in many
ways. Look at all the facts and figures you put out the other day.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
About the children. I really like that a lot.
Yeah, I mean...
how we, you know, as far as medical, you know, you hear some of the people call up, well, I wouldn't take and trade America's health care for Canada or, you know, Europe's health care.
I would.
Oh, I would love to have the health care that they have over in Europe.
I'd love to have what they have in Canada. I would love to be protected like that.
My wife's mother had some real serious trouble about a year and a half ago. And they put, after she got her operation and everything, they sent her to a sanitarium and took care of her. And she was in there for about 2 or 3 months and then got back out. And now she's back at home again, doing great.
Oh, good.
So,
good.
Yeah, this country's not number one in all. So many things, it's unbelievable. But we do have the best warships.
That's a fact.
we gotta get another war because we gotta use that stuff.
You know, the hard thing about it is though, Bill, we can't eat them.
that's for sure.
Hey, they're not going to go down so good.
Give us any faster internet either.
Now we better be thinking about that. You think what one of those aircraft carriers cost? Oh my God!
Let me ask you one question, then I'll hang up, guy. What would that do? From what you listen to that show, how would that affect somebody like you? You know, we was talking about Lieberman that time and his bandwidth. He didn't have enough, and they crashed his website.
Yeah.
What would this bill do for somebody like you who has to take and, get on the internet to get your show out? How do you think that would affect you?
Well, it would affect me here. I mean, I'm on high-speed cable. I'm on with a company called Comcast down here, and they're a big outfit. And their service is good. I'm not going to complain about them. It's as good as anything we've got in the country, I think. But, I only have so much bandwidth I can use. And I forget what the figures are right now. But what I could do here, let me explain. I could have anything I want here in this studio if I put in more lines. But if I put in more lines, then I've got a lot more expense.
You're not talking about a T1 line, are you?
No.
Okay.
And so if I put in more lines here, a couple more cable lines, people ask me why I don't have a TV in here. Well, I've got production computers and all this and that on, and I'm using pretty much what the cable will handle.
Uh-huh.
And if we had the new technology, why we could have a whole lot more in here and not have to worry about it. So don't let me kid you. Don't take this the wrong way. You're talking to someone here who barely knows what he's talking about when it comes to that.
Oh, I believe you on that.
So I sounded that stupid, huh?
I'll tell you what. I know you know at least 10 times more than I do. I mean that
would be a stretch.
That show just floored me last night.
Well, you know, there's people in Europe, and I know in Sardinia, there's some of the towns in Sardinia where everybody in town's got free internet. It's all wireless.
Did you see that speech that Stevens gave on the floor?
About the pipes.
Yeah. Oh my God Almighty,
Stevens.
I listened to.
Hey, Bill, it's Stevens.
Oh my God, that guy is something else. I've said that to you before. I said, "How can somebody say, Stevens is my man? That's who my vote goes."
You gotta wonder, don't you? You have to wonder about his constituency.
Yeah, I'm debating on this going to the election on the 7th. I'm so mad at Sherrod Brown whether I'm going to be able to hold my nose and vote for him. I mean, that just really just floors me.
I know,
and it's important. I look where he's 10.6 ahead of DeWine.
I see. Now, the Zogby poll today has got him, what was it here? It's got the Zogby poll's got Brown up by 4.
Uh-huh.
The newest Zogby.
I'm going to hang up, guy. Check that Real Clear Politics out if you got a chance on a break. And look it over once more. Because, boy, I just love that site. I go to that site every day.
Well, we'll do that.
All right, listen, you got a great show, and hang in there now. You got about two and a half hours left.
Hey, thank you, Bill. See ya.
Thank you, guy. Have a good day.
That's Head On with Bob Kincaid. This is Head On with Bob Kincaid.
The only hope that George Bush had after he raped the Treasury, after he ripped us off, the only hope he had for balancing out the amount of the bad paper that he had to go and hang in China was to take control of the means by which China would receive oil. Iraq is one of the faucets. The other faucet is Iran. If he can control those two things, he can continue to hang bad paper on China, and on the other end act as the dealer outside the schoolyard to China's little junkie. Does this make sense?
It makes perfect sense, and I haven't heard it said in that concise a manner. Nobody has made the loop so small that everybody can realize.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, only at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and RadioPower.org.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Yes, you know what would be really cool? Welcome to the show from Ohio Stadium one day. While the band's playing outside. Yeah, that'd be the thing. To all of you that are not college football fans, we have the greatest band in the world. The best damn band in the land. We call them affectionately Tabiddle. That's right, Tabiddle. The best damn band in the land. That's the Ohio State University marching band. Unmatched in college football, without a doubt. And it just so happens that the football team's number one in the country right now. So, man, what a great year for the Buckeyes. So far, anyway. Yeah, hey, welcome to the show. And forgive my little, Elo and I, we've got a little thing about the Buckeyes, you know. So we have to indulge our Buckeye fans. And don't ask me to... Don't ever ask me to play Hail to the Victors. I won't do it. You real football fans, you know what that is. All right. We have our own words for Michigan's fight song that we say. Hail to those, never mind. All right. Hey, you know, we were talking a little earlier about fear, about how these people like to rule with fear. And they do. They've ruled with fear. They got elected through fear the last time and all that. Listen to this. You might guess this came from Fox. On their program the other day, it says, the problem here is, I'm quoting Fred Barnes. The problem here is that the national security isn't the leading campaign issue, and saying it won't make it so. Saying it should be won't make it so. What's needed, now listen to this, this is Fred Barnes, a couple of days ago, talking on Fox, what's needed is an event. Does this sound familiar? A big event to crystallize the issue in a way that highlights Republican strength and Democratic weakness. It was two events, the foiled British terrorist plot and the need to comply with a Supreme Court decision on handling captured terrorists, that led to the Republican mini-rally in September. All you folks that have read the PNAC Declaration, does that sound a little scary to you? What we need is an event, said Fred Barnes. Jim Lehrer jumps in and says, wow, wow, and you think, what would it take for, is there anything the Republicans can do now to stop this tide? And David Brooks jumps in and says, something will happen. There will be some national security story or something. Something will happen. Do you think? I know I think, and I have stated on many occasions, and I hope it doesn't end me up in Gitmo for saying it, but I believe, I'm convinced to the depths of my soul that these people would stop at nothing, and let me emphasize, nothing, to hold on to their power in Washington. So when I read stuff like this from Fred Barnes and Jim Lehrer and David Brooks, what we need is an event. And then Brooks says something will happen. There will be some national security story or something. Are these people blowing smoke? Are they? Kind of makes you wonder if they're blowing smoke, doesn't it? Just think about the little conference that took place in Washington last week with Hannity and Ingram and Gallagher and Bortz and Michael Medved, the President of the United States, calling those clowns into his office to give them marching orders. And here's one thing that puzzles me. Neil Bortz, who just disgusts me. He does his show from down here a lot because he's got a place in Naples and he's got a studio in his home. But Neil Bortz is always claiming that he's a libertarian. Can anybody tell me why it is that all these guys that are libertarians suck up to the Republicans all the time? Are you a libertarian or are you a Republican? But they hate the Democrats. So what the hell is the difference between a libertarian like Neil Bortz and by the very fact that he sat in the office the other day talking to George Bush, that's good enough for me that he's as hardcore right-winger as you can get. Let's see here. Let's go to the phone. Guys, we got a board full. Everybody be patient with me here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yeah, guy, this is Sarge. How you doing?
Hi, Sarge.
Listen, you can plug your Buckeyes all you want to, but Golden Eagle, Southern Miss, that's enough said.
Hey, I've been in Hattiesburg, man. I've been in that little old stadium down there.
Yeah, we've got a little old stadium, but we got a loud one. It rocks.
Last time I was down there, one of the frats from the other school had stolen the eagle.
Well, you know, we had some trainers that killed our live eagle.
Yeah. Doesn't it make you wonder every time somebody calls, I say, yeah, I know, I've been there. But I have been to Hattiesburg on campus. Nice little campus and all.
Yeah.
And,
I graduated from USM, so I was there during the Reggie Collier days, if you remember Reggie.
Yeah.
They beat Alabama and Tuscaloosa, beat the bear.
They got that big aviary out there where they kept that eagle in. That's a big old pen to keep that eagle in.
You know, I had a class in that building where it was, and I used to go by early and when I could, and I'd stop by and look at that old eagle and watch him. And
oh, yeah.
It was fascinating. I wish we could have another one, but we can't afford to pay that $50,000 fine for abuse again. But anyway, I had to mention my Golden Eagles. We're playing Virginia Tech this weekend.
Well, you might have a good chance against them this time.
Well, hey, we'll play anybody. We'll even bring on your Buckeyes. We'll play them. We'll go up there and play them. We don't care. We'll play anybody.
We'll see if I'll see if I can get you an invite.
Hey, that'd work. Listen, you know, you're talking about what is the Republican nut brains going to pull. I want to throw this out to you and see what you think, because this has really got my interest. With this new law and the way it was waited to be signed in, God, do you think there's a possibility that this is your October surprise, and when people start to go to the polls, suddenly they're going to find themselves missing, arrested, detained?
Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
This law has it set up to where they can pick anybody up, anytime, any way they want to. They can have mistaken identity 48 hours later. Hey, I'm sorry. We made a mistake here. You missed your vote.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. I don't know what to think. I'm afraid for these next 3 weeks. I don't sit awake at night and all that, but you know, I've got my antenna up and all that. I'm afraid they're going to pull something. I really am.
I am too, and it scares me because I don't think they're even below another 9/11 type attack. And God, I hope not. But you know, these people are scary.
I mean,
look what they're doing to us down here on the Mississippi coast.
Yep.
I mean, we got people being kicked out of FEMA trailers right now.
Well, you're mistaken about that. I've seen a lot of pictures where everything's rebuilt. Looks real nice down there.
Yeah.
And most people, from what I hear, most people's homes they got now are a hell of a lot nicer than the ones they already had, and they all got new cars too. That's what I've heard.
Well, you know, they gave these little FEMA gold tickets out where they gave us everything in the world.
Yeah.
Which, I'm going to tell you, you know, that kind of stuff is what really has hurt a lot of it. And because the suicide rate in Jackson County alone is 200% increase.
Of course it is.
200%, guy, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not hard to believe at all. I'm surprised it's not more.
And now we got people who are living in what they call egg communities, and these communities are poorly constructed. They're nothing but aluminum trailers, okay? These people are getting kicked out of these aluminum trailers, and they've got no place to go. It's strictly the streets.
Yeah, well, you know.
And there's veterans in that group. There's disabled in that group. There are people who are just going to die, man.
Sure.
They're really going to die.
Well, it's only a few, Sarge, you know.
Yeah.
We got 300 million people there. What's a few hundred people dying, you know? It just doesn't mean anything anymore.
And don't you wonder why the right wing thinks these people are going to protect us from an enemy when they can't even protect us from a stupid hurricane? Even Nixon could protect us from rebuild us after a hurricane, because I went through Camille. And Nixon did a good job. He didn't do a good job. He did a poor job, but he got it done.
Yeah.
These people, they're not. God, it is worse today than it was 3 days after the storm.
Oh, sure. I understand
and
that.
Yeah. It's like the people are saying, what ones of us that Katrina didn't drown, the government's drowning us because all they're giving us is talking.
Yeah.
Guy, I'm going to let you go. And
thanks,
good luck,
Sarge.
Good luck, guys.
Good to hear from you.
And go Eagles.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, here, let's go over to line one. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Gonzo, greetings from a Patriot League town here in Easton. Long time, first time there. This is Spike. And I was very intrigued earlier. You kind of hit the nail on the head that you don't want to, you know, just to get the Republicans out, put in a bunch of jokers. Because if anything, the perfect model to prove that's a disastrous plan is what happened to the Republican Party itself. They're the ones who did just that a long time ago and sold their souls to win elections, and they've propped up some very pathetic individuals. I mean, I was trying to explain to people before, and I don't think they kind of understood what I was saying. You know, there was a time where they were people who could be progressively minded in that party that were allowed there. Heck, I mean, if you want to go way back in history, Teddy Roosevelt was, you know, with the trust busting against the big corporations and, you know, the conservation. And what kind of kills me is people don't see that end of the aspect. You know, it can't just be us against them. You know, some people also in this country need to learn how to work with the other side. I mean, it's become pathetic to the point that if you really look at who's really taken over that party, it's the same mentality that's trying to take over the Democratic Party. I mean, Bob Casey Jr., if Rick Santorum wasn't such a pathetic individual, Casey wouldn't have a chance in you-know-what.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, Casey's a poor speaker. He stands almost 100% on a lot of issues with Rick Santorum. I mean, that's why he keeps using the talking point. He's a rubber stamp for the Bush administration because his plan for Iraq is no withdrawal. You know, Casey got the support of Democrats for Life, you know, an anti-choice group out of Pennsylvania. And I mean, Joe Lieberman's a great example of that. Joe Lieberman kicked Lowell Weichert out of office in Connecticut. Lowell Weichert, by the way, was not a far-right man by any stretch of the imagination. He was had a very progressive voting record in the Senate.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe Lieberman ran one of the most negative campaigns imaginable, claiming this guy was asleep on the job because he only voted on 93% of the bills that came before the Senate. Which, if you know anything about the Senate, that's a phenomenal record.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And you know, Jeffords was a at one time fairly progressive-minded Republican who got chased out by the far right and had to become an independent, as Weichert did. And for that matter, I mean, Christy Whitman got chased out of the party. She was a moderate.
That's right.
You know,
that's,
I mean, right. And look what the Club for Growth and stuff did to Arlen Specter. I mean, they beat up on Arlen Specter left and right because he might support a union here and there. Matter of fact, my father's a union member, and the union sent him an endorsement thing last time Arlen Specter ran and said they were backing Arlen Specter, not the Democrat. And it's the same thing that will happen to the Democrats if they don't watch themselves. You know, Casey will be a good point of that, and certainly, you know, when Hillary Clinton comes around, I guarantee you, God, I hope she doesn't get the nomination. Heaven forbid she does. It'll be the exact same. She'll just be like putting a Bob Casey in, or, you know, a Joe Lieberman. And is that really what the progressive in this the progressive cause in this nation really wants? Is just somebody that has the same name as them, but doesn't have the same values.
Well, already we're seeing the K Street people starting to court the Democrats. They're already heading over, going to the fundraisers and all that because they see the handwriting on the wall. So
it's only a matter of time before Jerry Falwell starts backing the Democrats. I guarantee Bob Casey would probably be one of them.
Oh man! If he goes, well, I guess Limbaugh will go too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, essentially, there's a group who's just going to keep jumping on whatever ship's in the lead.
Yeah, that's right.
And we don't want to enable these people. I mean, to steal a line from a reformed libertarian, I don't want to go off on a rant here, but there was a reference earlier blaming Mr. Nader for 2000. If you look at the facts, Al Gore won the state of Florida. Ralph Nader was actually irrelevant.
Did, but would there? I guess the argument is: would there have even been a tough recount problem?
Well, I can tell you from experience. And by the way, I voted for him in a state where Al Gore won in 2000. In Mr. Nader, had it not been for Mr. Nader, I would have had no interest of getting involved in politics.
Yeah.
So people can beat up on him all they want. He does serve a purpose, and he's actually been vilified basically by a group with just the spilt milk mentality. Instead of learning how to win, they just like to point fingers and blame others. Most of them, luckily, have now been forced out of power in the Democratic Party. That was one of the keys to winning, is to kick those people with no plans out and bring in people like Howard Dean. Now, I guess it's questionable just
how
good the job is.
I got to run. I got about 20 seconds.
All right.
I thank you for calling. You've made many good points.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right, it's coming up on news time. Yes, it is. And We'll be joining news in just a moment. You're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back in, well, about 5 minutes right after the news.
This is the Quality News Network. The entire U.S. military strategy plan in Baghdad is now under review. That word coming from U.S. military spokesman General Bill Caldwell today in the wake of escalating violence in the Iraqi capital. He also confirms that attacks during Ramadan, which ends this weekend, are up 22% from a year ago. So far this month alone, more than 70 U.S. troops have been killed in Iraq. Also today in Mosul, 20 people killed in several bombings and another 31 tortured bodies found dumped throughout Baghdad. On the campaign trail in this country, President Bush headlines a fundraiser for Virginia Senator George Allen today in Richmond, while former President Bill Clinton does the same for Allen's opponent, Jim Webb, in McLean. The latest NBC Wall Street Journal poll shows approval ratings for Congress at their lowest level since 1994, when Republicans took control away from the Democrats. But now in this poll, 52% say they want the Democrats to take control away from the Republicans. One of the factors being mentioned by voters is the Mark Foley scandal currently being investigated by the House Ethics Committee. Today, that committee is hearing from former House Clerk Jeff Trandall, who says that for years he repeatedly raised red flags about Foley's behavior with Foley's then Chief of Staff, Kirk Fordham. Fordham has already testified that he reported those concerns to House Speaker Dennis Hastert's Chief of Staff, who denies it. Meanwhile, a Florida court has blocked Republican efforts to post Election Day notices in the precincts in Foley's district. Let voters know that a vote for Foley, whose name remains on the ballot, is actually a vote for his replacement. A number of high-level talks on the Korean Peninsula today. A Chinese envoy is meeting with North Korean leader Kim Jong-il, who continues to insist that his nuclear weapons program is for defensive purposes only. And in Seoul, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is meeting with South Korean officials to push for cooperation in enforcing U.N. sanctions against Pyongyang. She's been quick to point out, however, that the path of negotiations remains open. 125 people have been arrested in 22 states in connection with an internet child pornography case, among them a Bible camp counselor and a Boy Scout leader. More arrests are expected. And the Homeland Security Department and the NFL are both discounting a threat seen on a website that radioactive bombs will be exploded at 7 NFL stadiums this Sunday, the final day of Ramadan. So 7 are Oakland, New York, Miami, Atlanta, Seattle, Houston, and Cleveland. Homeland Security says they are skeptical, are advising caution, however, but they say that the threat is not credible. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next. It's now 2:30 past the hour.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to RightCarRightPrice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to RightCarRightPrice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Scientists now say that it's possible Hawaii was hit by two separate quakes on Sunday rather than one quake and an aftershock. The first of them, a 6.7 tremor, was 24 miles deep and 12 miles north of the Kona airport. The second was 6.0, half as deep and twice as far from the airport. Damage is estimated from both of those quakes at $73 million. Unemployment benefits were up last week by 10,000, disappointing forecasters. Mortgage rates have stabilized, a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage averaging 6.36% for the past week. That's down just 1/100th of a percentage point from the previous week. Microsoft is upgrading its web browser software for the first time in years to add features like tabbed browsing, which allows users to open several web pages at the same time. Social Security retirement checks are going up next year by 3.3%. That's the cost of living adjustment. John Lennon's widow, Yoko Ono, is suing EMI and a subsidiary for $10 million that she says they owe her in royalties from the sale of Lennon's music recordings. Gold is trading this hour at $602.80 an ounce. That's up almost at $10 an ounce. Silver is trading at $12.15. And light sweet crude up 76 cents a barrel, trading this hour at $58.41. On Wall Street, trading is mixed. The Dow is up 11 points past the 12,000 mark at 12,004. NASDAQ is down 3 at 2,334. And the S&P 500 down 1 at 1,365. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Is my creation! Life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. 6... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back. I guess everybody heard the news. You're all set now. You know what's going on in the world, and you can relax for a while. You are listening to the Guy James Show. We're going to be here until 6 this evening. We hope you'll join us on the program, 866-546-5254. What should we talk about this hour? Let's change it. Let's change and shift gears a little bit. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. How about that? No? We did some of that the other day. Ah, yeah. Everybody my age knows that old saying. Anyway, glad to have all of you with us this afternoon. We've got an interesting guest coming up, somebody we had with us about a month ago, I believe it was, Max Lynn, who's from Florida's, the Florida Citizens Third Party, is going to be with us again. He's an interesting guy, a very interesting guy, and we're going to hear a little bit about him. He had something pretty interesting happen to him a couple of weeks ago, so it's going to be fun talking to Max. He's a well-spoken gentleman, that's for sure. And thanks to Susan for sending the information about Paladin. You know, we were talking about that yesterday. God, we go too far back when we got start talking about things. Have Gun, Will Travel, that was the name of that series, and Richard Boone's in it. 1957. So, let's see, that's 43, 49 years ago. I must have been about 2 when I was watching that, somewhere around there. Yeah, 1957. Oh, my God. I was... how many of you got neighbors like... I'll tell you what. I've got a neighbor. Last night, I took the dogs out for a walk, and I ran into a neighbor that I don't like to run into. And, you know, I try and be friendly, and, you don't want to completely slough somebody off. I think he's an idiot. And... he's a hardcore Republican, which makes him an even bigger idiot. And I was asked why I think Bush and Cheney and almost the entire Republican Party lied to their followers. And, I think the answer is simple. It's because Bush and Cheney and almost the entire Republican Party, and I made my neighbor mad. But it's because these people assume, these politicians, they assume, and rightly so, that their followers are just like David Kuo's book points out, nuts. These politicians tell lies that even a five-year-old wouldn't believe, but their Christian base just sucks up these lies like manna from heaven. And the Republicans don't believe their Christian base is even close to being intelligent enough to catch on to all their lies. That's why they keep doing it. Don't you guys see that? You know, I tried to tell him that last night. Can't you see what's been going on? Can't you see that the lies? I mean, he started in on David Kuo. It's wait a minute. David Kuo was all right with you until he brought this book out. He's a fellow evangelical in the White House. You were proud of him. He comes out and he tells the truth in a book about what goes on in the White House, and he has no reason to tell anything other than the truth. He still is an evangelical Christian, yet now you don't believe him. He's truly one of your own. But you don't believe him. You'd rather believe a heathen like Cheney and a fake Christian like George Bush. I don't understand. I really don't get it. And so he brought it up, and so I did start ragging on him. You know, the Republicans really don't believe that their base has any sense. And they're absolutely right, because even after all of the corruption and the incompetence that's come to light, their Christian base still backs them, still buys into the horse manure of the Republican Party. Can anybody explain that? I tried to get him to explain it. Oh, and just start mumbling. Bush and Frist and Cheney and Hastert and Karl Rove and Rumsfeld and Rice, none of them ever speak to us. They don't speak to us. You know damn well they're looking right over our heads when they speak. They're not speaking to us at all, because they know better. They know they can't speak to us. They know we're too smart to accept the BS that they're shoveling. They know that. Nothing they say is ever aimed at us. And us means you and me. No, sir. They're not talking to us. They're talking directly to their legions of I'm sorry, but in many cases, just plain inbred drooling morons who are willing to sell their souls to Bush so he'll get them what their pastor wants. A ban on pro-choice and gay marriage and prayer in the schools. Nothing else matters to these people. Nothing. Never mind thousands of our kids have been sacrificed at Junior Bush's altar of greed. Never mind that. No matter that our economy's been wrecked for the great masses of this country, the working man. You ever stop and compare today's life? You know, in many ways we've got it good. We've got our computers and we've got this and that and better cars and nicer homes and all that. But you ever take a look at life now and life in the 50s? You ever think about that? In most cases, it was dad that went off to work. Mom stayed home, worked around the house. Every bit as hard as dad worked, I'll give you that, probably harder. The kids had all the love and attention that they needed at home, and I'm not saying they don't get it in many cases now, but it's harder. It's harder. One of the family would go out and work. And maybe once in a while have a little part-time job or something. But basically it was a 40-hour week job, and he could buy a house, a car, and live a good life. And now we've got mom and dad working full-time. One or both of them working part-time as well. The kids are off to daycare or at the neighbor's house. And don't give me this horse crap about, oh, well, it's just because everybody's buying plasma TVs and stuff. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's to pay the mortgage. It's to pay the car payment. It's to pay the sky-high electric bills. It's to pay the unbelievably high health insurance. Yes, in many ways, life is better today. But I think the quality of life was a whole lot better back then. I really do. It was a simpler time. It was an easier time. And yet these voters on the Christian right, the evangelicals, you know, you can't talk to them. You know, no matter that our reputation as a decent and moral country has been flushed down the toilet. No matter if earlier this week habeas corpus and the Geneva Convention had been tossed right out the window and just tramped on. No matter if we're losing the very democracy that we fought for. They only care about their issues, and they'll do anything to get their way, even if it means voting for Republicans who are robbing them blind. That, in the simplest of terms, is just plain idiotic, but they do it anyway. So who can blame Bush for using them over and over again? You can't blame him. Bush has been riding the Christian right horse to victory time after time after time, and he's going to keep on riding it till it just can't carry him anymore. And sooner or later, that horse is just going to lay down and die, because as the old saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. They are not learning. I have seen too many interviews this week that shows me that these people are not learning from this. And I am totally befuddled by it. I really am. I don't get it. I mean, here we got Bush and company. They're hypocrites. Who wave the flag and their religion as they trample on the democratic values that the very flag stands for. And they talk about exporting democracy while they're undermining it every single day here at home. And the threat to democracy we have right here now from the Republican Party, from corporate greed, to corruption in Congress. You know, we can lose this democracy. We can lose this democracy. It's by no means safe right now. I don't know. You know, you'd like to think that democracy to most people involves people in the decision that where it affects their lives. And when the Christian right, who definitely put these people into office, when they totally ignore a big part of their lives and only have two or three issues that they're standing on and stand by this nasty group of people no matter what, they're doing a disservice to the United States. They're doing a disservice to the rest of us. Most of us see through the current administration's failures and their falsehoods. Most of us do. But they don't. They don't understand that America's greatest progress is achieved not by cheering on things as they are, but by demanding change when change is needed. They're not conservatives, they're regressives. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to take us back to another time, an oppressive time in this country. And I don't want to go for it. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I wanted to talk about just a bit today about media bias. I don't think media bias has ever been more rampant than it is right now. And the Republicans will like to argue with you on that. But as we talked about a little bit later, or a little bit yesterday, I don't think they've got a leg to stand on. I really don't. We told you about the ownership yesterday of most of the media, who it is. And a liberal bias in the media is absolutely absurd. And let me give you a few examples of it. This is what I wanted to do today. I didn't want to talk and preach about it. But I want to give you some good, solid examples of why it's pure horse manure that there is a liberal bias to the news in this country. It's ridiculous. Because of a single earmark in a 2005 federal highway bill, Speaker Dennis Hastert, his net worth went from approximately $300,000 to at least $6.2 million because of one earmark. He acquired land in 2002, and Hastert himself inserted $207 million into 2005 highway bill for construction of the Prairie Parkway Corridor, a highway that had neither the support of the public nor the Illinois Department of Transportation, but just happened to be just over a mile from the property that he owned. It was out in the middle of nowhere. And once the bill passed, Hastert sold his property at a profit equal to 500% of his original investment, and voila. Well, don't you know that that story's out there, and you and I have known about that story for a while, but CNN, according to a study, Media Matters has reported that CNN, and they've studied this, CNN has devoted 50 times as much time, as much coverage to Reed's case that's up right now as to Hastert's. 50 times more to Harry Reid's as they did to Hastert's. And let me give you some other examples. Media bias. How about this? Laura O'Donnell makes me sick. But here she is.
Let me put you on record here, because we see Bill Clinton talking about the politics of common good and the need for that to take place. You say the Democrats have a positive agenda. Can you promise then that when Democrats, if they retake the House of Representatives and the Senate, will not issue tens or hundreds of subpoenas to the White House when it comes to Katrina, Iraq, and a number of issues, and essentially make the president's final 2 years in office a living hell, if you will, and mean that nothing gets done in Washington?
Was that her place to say that? Was that her place to say that at all? Laura O'Donnell. Let's have another example of media bias. Bill Bennett and James Dobson.
Yeah, given that historical fact and the way it is today, isn't it amazing that there's such a sizable number of people in the media and in the liberal community that despise this country and its freedoms, and are doing everything they can to undermine it?
It's never been this bad in terms of the media. I wouldn't say that presidents haven't had it this hard. They have. Lincoln was one. Washington, before he was president, I mean, you talk about touch and go, you know, facing the greatest military in the world without equipment, without money, without manpower, and with an awful lot of the country being loyal, still being loyal to the crown. But in terms of the media, it has never been like this.
Well, all right, we're right around the corner from an election.
Yep.
And here at Focus on the Family, we're not political. We do care a lot about the issues.
No, you're not political.
But would it not be appropriate to say to our listeners, regardless of what your political affiliation is and regardless of how you see the candidates that are going to be voted on very shortly, I beg you to think about the security of this nation and ask yourself, do the people that I'm putting in power understand this threat, and are they willing to confront it?
It's a great question. It's a great question. And I have a lot of trouble supporting people who want us to take a course of action, which is exactly the course of action that Osama bin Laden wants us to take.
God. There's Bill Bennett actually just blatantly accusing the Democrats of siding with bin Laden. James Dobson claiming that they're not political at all. Focus on the Family. Oh, they're not political at all. And here's another example. There's another example of media bias.
If Democrats are elected, we are in for 2 years of investigation, God forbid impeachments, while the world is set on fire.
Ah, yeah. Another expert, Glenn Beck, and still another from last evening.
The media was a willing and complicit factor in this whole story. Cindy Sheehan was not just an ordinary suburban Vacaville, California mom who suddenly planted herself and woke up one morning and said, I've got to do something about the war in
this
Iraq.
Is Melanie Morgan,
and went to Crawford to ask the president, what noble cause did my son die for? What happened was she was financially assisted. Hundreds and thousands of dollars were spent to help her create a media message, which she, in fact, began unspooling every night on the 6 o'clock news.
Let me just say something. I find that going after Cindy Sheehan the way you are despicable. This is a woman who lost a son. Everybody grieves differently. In your book, for example, you talk about Cindy Sheehan having an affair with Lou Rockwell. You say she's addicted to online porn, which has nothing to do with anything as far as I'm concerned. You tie her to David Duke and the KKK and Hugo Chavez. And I really think it's disgusting.
Well,
I really think it's disgusting what you're doing in terms of talking about her being online in chat rooms, doing porn stuff. What does it have to do with anything?
Let me answer that question for you. I'm happy to answer it, Alan, because she introduced the subject of her personal life herself. She created a biography for herself that was largely untrue and uncorrected by the media. We were doing a biography on Casey Sheehan and Justin Johnson, the two boys who were best friends. The families were also part of the story, and we also dealt specifically with the Johnson family, who also had addiction that became part of their reaction, their extreme reaction to their grieving. And we were sorry to have to report this kind of...
You didn't have to report anything.
Oh, of course we didn't. Why would we be dishonest in doing a biography?
First of all, I think it's a smear job to talk about her online, having affairs, doing online porn, as if that has anything to do with anything. This is a woman. Everybody goes through a grieving process differently.
Absolutely.
And the Johnson family clearly did it differently than the Sheehan family.
Alan, the truth is the truth. It's not conservative. It's not liberal. It's the truth. Some people can't handle it. In this case, this just fills out a little bit of the story. It had to be in there. I mean, we talk about instant messages with other people now, don't we? And I know you talked about it because I've heard you.
We've talked about it.
And she's a public person, too, and it is a news story.
Does Sheehan a policymaker? Is she an elected representative?
She is.
Is Cindy Sheehan somebody
policy
that the American people have chosen to represent them in any legislature? She's an individual citizen who's chosen to speak out.
And we give her kudos for her brave voice. We do. And just like I have been very vocal on the other side of the issue, we don't have a problem with that. We have a problem when the story is not told accurately. There has been a travesty in the media.
Does it only matter if Republicans have internet
messages?
Inappropriate messages? Is that the story?
Yes.
Hang on a second. Is that the story?
She's a public official. She's a public person now, not an official.
Double standard?
You're right. There's a double standard and hypocrisy at work, and we are not going to let it stand.
Good to see you both. Thank you for being with us.
Not going to let it stand. Now, that was all really necessary, wasn't it? You talk about media bias. They're beating Cindy Sheehan to death nowadays. The Melanie Morgan is a bitch. I don't care what you say about her. I've seen her enough on TV to know that I wouldn't stand in the same room with her. Oh, well. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get a hold of our guest coming up here in a moment. And don't go away.
I get on well with everyone.
And we're back with the Guy James Show. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. Having a bit of difficulty getting a hold of my guest here. Max, are you with us? No. Well, I guess we're on hold. How about that? You ever been on hold live? All right. Well, we'll wait and see what happens here. See if he shows up. Anyway, moving right along. You know, we were talking about what may happen a little later on. Now, you can call me the most cynical guy in America if you want to, but I really think the Republicans are setting us up for a mighty fall. And, now we're getting somewhere here. Well, maybe we are, maybe we're not. So you're right here in the production room. Nothing happening. Well, they must be really busy up there today. Well, okay. I guess I don't know what's going on. Enough of that. Forgive me for that, but that's how it goes sometimes. People don't have their act together. I think I am really the most cynical guy in America, as I was telling you, and I think the Republicans are setting us up for a fall. You see, because I believe they're now convinced that they're going to lose. I think they're absolutely convinced of it, at least the House. And maybe the Senate, too. I don't know what to think about the Senate, but I think the House is gone for them. I really do. And they'd like to keep them. But I think they now accept the loss of one or both of them, maybe. So if it's inevitable that you're going to lose, what's the best strategy? Well, of course, you start getting ready for the next election. That's what most everybody would do. Say the hell with it and go on. That's what most everybody would do. And that is what they're doing. So what better way to get ready for the next election than to hand your opponent a live grenade that's getting ready to explode, if you understand what I'm saying here. That's the way I really see it right now. I think the current world situation is about to explode. Terror's on the rise. The economy for the masses in this country is sinking fast. All this ballyhoo about the 12,000 on the stock market this week. What did that mean for you? Did any of you... And I don't want them to come back and say, oh, well, it means jobs for people. Jobs, my ass, means jobs at Burger King. Okay? But I think that's exactly what they're doing. They're handing us what I think is a live grenade and something. Well, everything's bad happening. Everything's gone wrong, and what are the Republicans doing about it? What have they done about it? They've done nothing. Nothing at all. Just hand this grenade off to the Democrats in a few weeks and wait for it to explode in their hands. Simple. And then when the inevitable happens, when we get hit by a terrorist again, and we will, and when there's no jobs, and when the bankruptcies are maxed out to the limit, people are losing their homes. When everything plays out, the Republicans are going to blame it all on the Democrats and come riding in on their big white Republican horse again, just like they did with St. Ronnie of Reagan. You all remember that. Well, the older ones of you remember that. They can get elected. They're really good at getting elected, but they can't govern. They get elected. They stay in for a while. They screw things up until it's a horrible mess. They always leave a huge mess behind for the Democrats to clean up, and then later on, they blame the Democrats for not being able to clean up the entire mess. Look at the debt Reagan and Bush left for Clinton. Just look at that. Now, call me for Mr. Cynical. Call me Mr. Cynical, but I think we might be seeing another great Republican con job going on right now. Just another one of their ways of putting it to us. And that's the problem I've had with the Democrats right now, that we've been relying too much, and our politicians have been relying too doggone much on what's wrong with the Republicans and not doing a good enough job to push what's right with the Democrats. And I think that's it in a nutshell. You might say, well, you've got a talk show. Maybe that's your job. Well, no, it's not my job. It's for the Democratic politicians to go in front of the American public and tell everybody what they stand for. And I hope they will do a better job of that. I really hope they'll do a better job on that. I don't know, but I don't see it happening right now. I don't see it happening at all. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I hope you'll give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. In fact, you can get right in. We've only got just one line ringing right now. So, gosh, it makes you feel lonesome when there's only one line blinking right now. Let's go to it here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Let's try that again. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, you're on.
This is Christine calling from the Max Lynn for Governor campaign.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Max is on a conference call with attorneys trying to get into the debates that are coming up.
Okay.
Would you like to speak to someone else from our office?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
you. There you go. There you know exactly what happened. Trying to get into the debate. We've got a situation here locally. We're represented, and I've touched on it before. We've got a Congressman, Connie Mack, Republican. His dad was in the Congress. Lifelong politician. And now his son's going to be a lifelong politician. And he's our representative. He doesn't come around. He doesn't do anything here. Doesn't do a thing. Nothing. So, they want to have a debate. And what does he say? He said, no, I'm not going to participate in Women's League of Voters debate because my opponent isn't a worthy opponent. He's not, he doesn't have enough money. He's not credible. And let me assure you that Robert Neal, the candidate here, is a hell of a lot more credible as a candidate for the Congress of the United States than the guy presently holding the office. I know Robert Neal. He's a good one, a real good one. So I don't know. I don't know. Somebody's saying, have we got streaming problems? Somebody let me know if we're having streaming problems. I don't think we are. Let's answer the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, how you doing, Max Lynn? How you doing?
Pretty good.
Am I on right now?
Yeah, am I on right now is the big question.
Well, I don't know. You're the only one who can answer that. But anyway, I'm glad to be on the show. Is this a live talk show?
Yes.
Well, I just thought I'd let your show be the first to know. I've just gotten off the phone, and we have filed an injunction against the Republican and Democratic Party for not allowing democracy to work in the debates. And I was just on the phone with four different attorneys that are filing an injunction later today. So we got a lot of news that's going to be happening in the gubernatorial race and in politics.
Well, good. We're having a little technical problem right at the moment. Can I call you back in just a couple of minutes?
You want me to give you the
yes,
number?
I've got the number. I'll call you back in just a couple of minutes.
You've got it. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Check. Everything's working fine here. I'll put on some music.
Strange nation has ocean on two sides and the Bama crimson tide. in the south, tilted slightly toward the north. The immigrants pour forth, seeking Phoenix and life hand to mouth. My strange nation tilts sharply to the right, with our leaders straight and white as our teeth. Our population's mixed, but our election's fixed in my strange nation, America. My strange nation, built on the backs of slaves who were sailed here across the waves from far away. This cruel experiment was ended by a president who was both a Republican and gay. My strange nation gave the Indians our germs. They surrendered on our terms, as in died. Their survivors filed appeals, so we gave them roulette wheels in my strange nation, America. But my strange nation has lost its mind again, sending young women and men off to war for reasons that aren't clear. Unless you're standing near to the rich and the righteous and the bored. And my strange nation, enamored of the cross, and who will win the toss of the coin, the circus and the bread, distract us from the dead in my nation, America. But my strange nation will surely come around, for you cannot hold us down for long. We'll sputter and we'll cough and throw the despots off and recover the soul that makes us strong. This land, for its mountains and its lakes, tornadoes and earthquakes, for its poets and pioneers, for its fetishes and fears, for its freedom of dissent, for its greasy government, and I will not change the stand.
Here are stars, you are the northern lights. They try to shine in through your curtain, you're too close and too bright. Well, they try and they try, but everything that they do is the ghost of a trace of the pale imitation of you. I'll be the one to drive you back home. This
this party was made with the night air and the chance at a smile. We'll wipe its way from your face to one of the boys in your line. Well, you act like you're hip to their tricks and you're strong but a virgin. Wurlitzer are hard, never once had a song. I'll be the one to drive you back home, Kathleen. And I'll have you back by break of day. I'm going your way anyway. And if you'd like to come along, I'll be yours for a song. Oh, oh, oh. Down the length of your drive by the light of the moon. And the next time we meet's a new kind of hello. Both our hearts have a secret. Only both of us know about the night that I drove you back home, Kathleen. I drove you home.
From the enemy.
Sleeping. I've been so still, afraid of crumbling. Have I been careless, dismissing all the distant rumblings? Take me where I am supposed to be, to comprehend the things that I can't see. 'Cause I need to move, I need to wake up, I need to change, I need to shake up, I need to speak out. Something's got to break up. I've been asleep and I need to as a child. I danced like it was 1999. My dreams were wild. The promise of this new world would be mine. Now I am throwing off the carelessness of youth to listen to an inconvenient truth that I need to move, I need to wake up, I need to change, I need to shake up, I need to speak out. Something's got to break up. I
It's been 5 years since I've had a raise in pay. Way things are going, I could get laid off any day. Sure is hard living with all this pain. I know what I need. I need somebody to blame. Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs.
It's all their fault.
Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs.
They got some gold.
Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs.
They got no class.
Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs.
Let's send them back.
My neighborhood library is about to close. The school my kids go to is becoming a joke. Self-serving liberals blame it on corporate tax breaks. But that's propaganda. I know who I should hate. Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs.
It's all their fault.
Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs.
They got some gold.
Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs.
They got no class.
Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs.
Let's send them back.
Who's to blame for the potholes and flooding and drought?
It's all their fault. It's all their fault.
Who's to blame for inflation, unemployment, and everything I'm pissed off about? Who's to blame for the end of the good old days? Who's to blame for the fact that I can't get laid? Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs.
It's all their fault.
Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs.
They got some gold.
Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs.
They got no class.
Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs.
Let's send them back. Send them back.
I've always hated Blockbuster.
Target, McDonald's, The Gap, Pepsi, Nike, IBM.
Starbucks, not quite so much. If I'm not boycotting at least three oil companies, I start to feel out of touch. I wouldn't be seen in Nordstrom's or any such. And I hate Walmart. I don't like whips. I don't like chains. I don't go chopping up my neighbor's brains. Don't really like shopping except at the flea market. I hate Walmart. Now you may wonder, what's all this fuss? If you don't like it in a state of sartorial decay, and that's why I spot, I'll pave it over, put a clover leaf over, a four-leaf clover, black paint on a white cliffs of Dover, it never fails. Hope you like this song, sing some blunt, could go on, but I got a great lunch. If you didn't like it, I've got a hunch. You work in sales. Don't grow your own, make your own, be careful what you own, develop non-shopping to an art.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rush Limbaugh.
They say that I'm sleaze and elitist, you please. Everybody disagrees with my rap.
It's rap.
I'm horrendous, I'm appalling. my ratings now are falling because I'm so full of bull, so full of crap. With condescending tribes making money selling lies. You might say, everybody hates my guts. I'm offensive, I'm a bigot, I'm a fraud. Can you dig it? I'm a sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic putz.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
Station wagon laying foundations on the shadows of overpass and plains. Well, I'm feeling good. 7 o'clock, we're gonna drive across the county line. And find Saturday night like an orphan child that the good days left behind. Well, I'm not sure we can stay. The sun's going down. Sure, if I left you or you left me for life, leaves and kings.
lost myself in work. You got married to a lawyer painting murals in New York, and though it seems a million miles ago since I saw the light, yeah, I was closed by nervously like warships in the night. Now, many times I've been corrupted, but I've never been in love. I began to realize that that's just where I was, so I packed up my possessions, caught an eastbound train, met you in Ohio, sleeping in the rain with a Leeds and Kings, a famous ball. No diamond ring's gonna cut through it all. So now we're going back again, right where we began, with rules and regulations, but no real kind of plan. I've learned my lesson well, no mistakes are wrong. Once you find yourself true love, you just keep holding on. Cause like leaves and kings, all things must fall. No diamond ring's gonna cut through it all. Now, out of the dark, out of the blue, like leaves and kings, I've fallen in love with you.
Drunkard from pain. And me, I believe that the Garden of Eden was burned to make way for a train, for a train. It's a long way to heaven. It's closer to Harrisburg, and that's still a long way from the place where we are. And if evil exists, it's a pair of train tracks, and the devil is a railroad. Thank you.
became a thin blue flame. Polished on a mountain range and over hills and fields I flew. Wrapped up in a royal blue, I flew over Royal City last night. We're fighting the horns of a new moonlight. Caesar's ghost, I saw the wartime tides. The Prince of Denmark's father still and quiet. The whole world was looking to get drowned. Trees were a fifth, shaking themselves at the clouds. I looked over curtains, oh, it's then that I knew that only a full house gonna make it through. I became a thin blue wire that held the world above the fire. And so it was I saw behind heaven's just a thin blue line. If God's up there, he's in a cold dark room. The heavenly hosts are just the cold dark moons. He bent down and made the world in 7 days. And ever since he's been walking away, mixing with nitrogen and lonely holes, where neither seraphim or raindrops go. I see an old man wander in the halls alone, but only a full house gonna make a home. I became a thin blue stream the smoke between a sleep and dreams. And in that clear blue undertow, saw Royal City far below, border soft with refugees. Streets swimming with amputees. It's a Bible or a bullet they put over your heart. It's getting harder and harder to tell them apart. The days are nights and the nights are long. Beating hearts blossom in the walking bombs. And those still looking in the clear blue sky for a sign get missiles from so high they might as well be divine. And now the dogs are howling at your door, singing about vengeance like it's the joy of the Lord. Bringing justice to the enemies, not the other way around. They're guilty, we're killed, and they're killed where they're found. If what's loosed on earth will be loosed up on high, it's a hell of a heaven we must go to when we die. Or even Laurel begs Hardy for vengeance, please. The fat man's crying on his hands and his knees. Back in the peacetime, he caught roses on the stage. Now a twist and decision takes bourbon for rage. Like pellets, pepper, and aluminum. Halcyon, laudanum, and opium. Sinks just behind this poison color. His wine and sheen is busy, wild as another. And dark as he looks for the life that died. You need faith for the same reasons that it's so hard to find. And this whole thing is headed for a terrible wreck. Like a tragedy, that's what we expect. Make plans for a city laid down. The hips of a girl on the spring-covered ground. Spirals and capitals and the twists of a script. Streets named for heroes that could almost exist. Fruit trees from Eden and the gardens that sing. They flow like the smoke from a lithium dream. Cedar trees growing in the cool of the squares. Young women walking in the portals of prayer. Future glass buildings in the past and a dress. The weddings in pollen and the wine and bottomless.
and all wrongs forgotten and all vengeance made right. The suffering verbs put to sleep in the night. The future descending like a British chandelier. The world's beginning and the guests of good cheer. In Royal City, I fell into a trance. Cause it's hell to believe there ain't a hell of a chance. Beneath a clear blue sky, the sun is shout, the breeze is sigh. The old hometown and the streets I knew. Wrapped up in a royal blue. I heard my friends laughing out across the fields. Girls in the gloaming and the birds in the wheel. The raw smell of horses and the warm smell of hay. Cicadas electric in the heat of the day. A run of three sisters in the flush of the land. And the lake was a diamond in the valley's hand. The straight of the highway and the scattered out hearts. They were coming together, they were pulling apart. And angels everywhere were in my midst. And the ones that I loved and the ones that I kissed. I wondered what it was I've been looking for above. Heaven so big there ain't no need to look up. So I stopped looking for royal cities in the air. Only a full house gonna have a prayer.
Girls, here are stars, you are the northern lights. They try to shine in through your curtain, you're too close and too bright. They try and they try, but everything that they do is
is the ghost of a trace of a pale imitation of you. I'll be the one to drive you back home, Kathleen. This party was made with the night air and the chance that a smile will wipe its way from your face to one of the boys in your line. Well, you act like you're hip to their tricks and you're strong but a virgin. Wurlitzer are hard, never once had a song. I'll be the one to drive you back home, Kathleen. And I'll have you back by break of day. I'm going your way anyway. And if you'd like to come along, I'll be yours for a song. Oh, 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 oh. Down the length of your drive by the light of the moon. And the next time we meet, it's a new kind of hello. Both our hearts have a secret. Only both of us know about the night that I drove you back.
Thought of home. Sleeping. I've been so still, afraid of crumbling. Have I been careless, dismissing all the distant rumblings? Take me where I am supposed to be, to comprehend the things that I can't see, 'cause I need to move, I need to wake up, I need to change, I need to shake up, I need to speak out, something's got to break up. I've been asleep and I need to And as a child, I danced like it was 1999. My dreams were wild. The promise of this new world would be mine. Now I am throwing off the carelessness of youth to listen to an inconvenient truth that I need to move, I need to wake up, I need to change, I need to shake up, I need to speak out,
It's been 5 years since I've had a raise in pay. Way things are going, I could get laid off any day. Sure is hard living with all this pain. I know what I need. I need somebody to blame. Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs.
It's all their fault.
Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs.
They got some gold.
Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs.
They got no class.
Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs.
Let's send them back.
My neighborhood library is about to close. The school my kids.
Exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. My blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation. And marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Think of all the hate there is in Red China. Then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace. And tell me over and over.
roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend
well, now, that he just... Well, I'm told we're back up and running. Is that right?
The answer, my friend...
Let's take a look here and see.
...is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Yes, I guess we are. Okay. Well, we've got a whole 14 minutes left in the program. Thanks for waiting it out, that whole carload of you that did. Oh, well, it's one of those things. Someday they will perfect this technology. Now, I think it's a ways off yet, but someday they will. So, sorry about that. What was it they used to say? Due to difficulties beyond our control. Due to circumstances beyond our control. So, anyway, we're back. And I was just reading something interesting. Bill O'Reilly was talking about interviewing the president the other day, and he said the president doesn't visit the internet, doesn't know what's going on in the internet. But he said if he could, if Bill O'Reilly could, and you know he's a much respected and revered figure here in the United States amongst the people on our side of the aisle. He said if he could, he'd go into the internet with a hand grenade. Here's a guy that made his way in TV by doing what program was it? Some hokey 7 o'clock in the evening celebrity show of some kind. Did anybody know what the name of that program was that Bill O'Reilly started out on? I don't know, a Hard Copy or was that it? Hard Copy? I'm not sure. Anybody on the chat room know what show it was Bill O'Reilly started his TV career on? I'm thinking it was Hard Copy. I might be completely way off on that. I don't know. But, my God, here's a guy that, you know, he's been sainted practically on Fox News. He's the number one guy. And a guy that starts out with Hard Copy. Ends up in the Oval Office interviewing the President of the United States. Jeez, doesn't get any crazier than that, does it? Well, anyway, Bill O'Reilly there. We've got about 10 or 11 minutes left in the problem. Somebody wrote in F Troop. That's pretty good, F Troop. I never saw an episode of F Troop. Never did. I remember seeing an ad for it or something, and I could probably... While I got a moment, one of the things I wanted to talk about today, and I think I've got enough time for this, is the utter desperation that the Republican is working under right now, and they are desperate, and they're doing just about anything. Everybody see this thing in the Los Angeles Times today that the state investigators have linked a Republican campaign to letters sent to thousands of Orange County Hispanics warning them that they could go to jail or be deported if they vote next month? And they've chased it down to a Republican running for office. He actually sent letters out, written in Spanish, that told the recipients, quote, "You are advised that if your residence in this country is illegal, or here's the important part, or you are an immigrant, Voting in a federal election is a crime that could result in jail time. In fact, immigrants who are naturalized U.S. citizens can vote. So this was just a deal to try and get an estimated 14,000 Democratic voters in Central Orange County not to come to the polls. Does anybody think there isn't anything that they wouldn't stoop to? I don't know. I don't think there's anywhere they wouldn't go. But this is the lowest of the low. And if you remember, they did this in Florida a few years back when they tried to stifle the vote. They put up roadblocks. They put up. They sent letters out to people and so forth, trying to stifle the Democratic vote, and it worked. Of course, it worked. They will do anything they can, and I want you to be ready. And I want you to be thinking about it, because don't be surprised if something awful happens in this country sometime within the next couple of weeks. I don't think they'll wait until the last couple of days. I think they'll wait till maybe 3-4 days ahead of the election, and then whatever big is going to happen will happen. It'll be Karl Rove's October surprise, or I don't know what. I don't know what to expect. But there will be something, and there will be utter desperation on the part of the Republicans. They're not going to give this up easily. They've been on the gravy train for a long time now. The Congress has, a long time, and they've had a chance to really get their old snout in the trough. A while back, we had a book, we had an author on. I can't think of the author's name, but the name of the book was Pigs in the Trough, and that exactly describes what this Republican Congress has been. We've seen one episode after another of crime and corruption, and all this deal about Kurt Weldon the other day. Have you seen it on the news? Have you seen anything on the news on the mainstream media? Have you seen anything about Weldon's daughter's home being raided and all that, about him being under investigation by the FBI? Has anybody seen that? No. No. It's that damn liberal media. It's that damn liberal media. They've stifled again. I'd like to know if anybody's got an opinion on this. Did you see that interview, Bush's one-on-one interview with ABC News, George Stephanopoulos? He said that a newspaper column comparing the current fighting in Iraq to the 1968 Tet Offensive in Vietnam, which was widely seen as the turning point in that war, might be accurate. Stephanopoulos asked whether the president agreed with the opinion of columnist Tom Friedman, who wrote that in the New York Times today, that the situation in Iraq may be equivalent to the Tet Offensive in Vietnam almost 40 years ago. Our esteemed president said he could be right. There's certainly a stepped-up level of violence, and we're heading into an election. Bush said he could be right. Did he understand what he was saying right then and there? It makes me wonder. I wonder if Bush has given up, or does he actually know the meaning of what happened in the Tet Offensive? Any of you remember? Yes, it was a huge military defeat for the North Vietnamese and the VC. But it was also a huge political victory, because no one at that time thought that they could mount such a massive military campaign. And they were defeated in the Tet Offensive militarily. But it was a huge PR victory for them. And not long after that, just a couple of months after that, LBJ dropped out of the presidential race, said, I will not accept the nomination of my party for president of the United States. Dropped out, and the anti-war movement went into overdrive. Up until that point, it had been kind of quiet. But it was the Tet Offensive that it was the beginning of the end for Vietnam. And here we have George W. Bush talking about a war that he started, saying that the situation in Iraq right now may be the equivalent of the Tet Offensive in Vietnam. Now, is he giving up? Is he acknowledging that this thing is about over? Or is he just plain stupid? Could be both. Could be both. We already know he's plain stupid. But I thought that was extremely odd, and it could well be that he has no conception of history. It might be that he does not know the history of that. Which is entirely possible. The man has shown, he's not given any indication that he knows a lot about history anyway. And history, geography, the military. He doesn't know squat about much, really. We know he doesn't know how to drill for oil. He doesn't know how to ride a bike. he's just not very good at anything. But I thought that was really odd. And yes, it was a massive success militarily. It was. For us. But we lost the PR war right then and there. After the Tet Offensive, it was over. Because, again, nobody... That's when the United States finally figured out that the VC and the North Vietnamese... they were going to dig in no matter what. And the morale went straight downhill after that. And we just got in deeper and deeper and deeper. But it was. The Tet Offensive was the beginning of the end. There's no question about it. And now Bush is saying that this is the equivalent of that. Well, if it is, we're in big trouble. Big trouble. Well, glad you've been with us today. We've had our share of troubles today. I see there are people on the chat room that don't agree with me about the Tet Offensive. Yes, I agree. I agree that it was a military victory at the time, and it was. There's a little question about that. We defeated them militarily in that, but it was a huge PR victory for the North Vietnamese at the time. How's this one going to end? Are we in the Tet Offensive right now? I see that we're saying that we're going to reexamine this beefed-up strategy in Baghdad. It's led to many, many more deaths of our soldiers, many more. So they're going to sit back and take another look at it, and now we see that there's talk around Washington of maybe a military coup. And I wanted to get into that today, but because of the outies, we didn't get a chance to. It was going to be the main theme of what was left in the show today about this military coup that there's it's rumored around Washington that they might want to throw Maliki out and put Salabi in. Huh? Wouldn't that be something? Well, hey, I do want to thank you for being with us today here on the Guy James Show and the Head On Radio Network. I want to let you know that Bob Kincaid is coming up next. He'll be with you from 6 to 10 tonight, and he's going to have our good friend Mike Malloy on, I think, around 7:30 or so. Maybe I shouldn't say what time, but that's what I understand. That's going to be great for all you Mike Malloy fans, and I'm one that's very happy that Mike's got himself a new job, and I knew it wouldn't take him long. He's got too much talent. So thank you for listening to the Guy James Show today. I sincerely appreciate it. All of us here on the Head On Radio Network do appreciate your listenership very, very much. We take it very seriously, and we try and sit here and provide you with a good program every day, good programming all day, every day. And we hope you'll stick with us. I do want to remind you that the Guy James Show is a listener-supported program. And you can do that on our website, theguyjamesshow.com. So thanks a lot for being there today. Stay tuned for Bob Kincaid.